And just before we dive into the message, I too wanted to say a big thank you to all the amazing volunteers at BCA. As John mentioned, last night was just an extraordinary night. And, you know, there's 400 people that serve on a regular basis here at BCA, and we just appreciate so much each and every one of you. Last night at our volunteer appreciation party, it was just one other way to say thank you. You know, I made the statement last night, you know, what makes a great church other than Jesus? It's people. It's people like you. It's people like the 400 people that serve on a regular basis at BCA. So thank you, thank you, thank you. A special shout out to our ministry and volunteer director, Melissa Holliday, who put that whole thing together. Give Melissa a big hand. Would you do that? She'll tell you she had a great team of volunteers working with her, which just only underlines the part that there's so many great volunteers here at BCA. We're very, very blessed. You know, I was thinking about our series on finances, and somebody sent me a video that I think just really kind of summarizes a lot of things, and it might be something that you want to do. It's a great resource if you're looking for someone to call for help. Let's take a look. I have a house, two passive incomes, and a personal driver. Follow me for financial advice. Well, that looks just like my dog, Rex, and it's not Rex, but I've heard Rex say exactly the same thing. And so, you know, there's all sorts of advice to be found. Hey, if you're brand new with us here, the last week we kicked off a new series on wise money management. You know, the subject of money and resources and possessions is such an important topic. The Bible talks about it over and over again. And really the bottom line, the bottom line is a question of stewardship. It's a question of management. You know, if we were God, would we hire us or fire us with regard to how well we're managing his resources? It's a great thought. You know, I've been thinking about it all week. You know, if we were God, would we hire us to manage his resources, or would we fire us because we're just really not following his plan? It's really a question of management. I know we think it's a matter of money, and that's a part of it, but it's a matter of the heart, of management, of stewardship, of discipleship. And so I want to just kind of lay that foundation as we dive in here again today. The Bible says it's required that those who have been given a trust to be found faithful. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, or thou good and faithful steward, as it says in some translations. We're to be stewards, managers. We're to manage God's resources very, very well. And that's what we're talking about here these weeks. If you weren't with us last week, we talked about the first four principles in the Joseph story. Joseph in the Old Testament really lays out, I think, one of the greatest list of principles on money management you'll find anywhere. We talked about dependence, relying on God, accounting, know the facts, saving, prepare for the future, for contentment, be wise with debt. Today we're going to talk about budgeting, spend intelligently, hard work, be industrious, and giving, honor God first. If you were not here last week, make sure you listen to the message just to kind of soak in some of the things that God is saying about money. The fact is, money and possessions and resources matter a lot to God because he knows how much it controls our life. Over 2,350 verses deal with the subject. Jesus talks more about money and possessions than he does heaven and hell combined, and prayer and faith. 500 verses on prayer and faith, 2,350 on money. So it's a big, big deal because God knows how it controls our heart and how can it overwhelm us and distress us, how it can be difficult and challenging. So I made the statement last week, I'll make it again. These 5 weeks that we're focusing on this subject is really a master class on money, not because I'm the one teaching it, but because it comes right from the Bible. The Bible talks about practical things. How many have learned that to be true? The Bible talks about so many practical things, whether it be marriage or family, whether it be parenting, whether it be money. What does God say about resources? Now, the statistics are quite sobering. 80% of people in the U.S. are stressed about money. 72% say they do not have a written budget. They don't have a written plan. 53% aren't saving for retirement. 83%, I thought this was interesting, regret they didn't do more in 2023 to fix their finances. And to that I say, let's do more in 24, right? Let's do more in 24 to fix our finances. And so somebody sent me an email this week and said, you know, we're talking about Joseph And I feel like I'm kind of in the lean years right now. Not the 7 years of plenty, but the 7 years of lean. And I think it just underscores how anxiety riddled and how fear producing the topic can be. And so as we walk through this series, I want us to do two things. One is, I want us to evaluate how well are we following God's principles, specifically the Joseph principles. And then second, just give it to God. Give your anxieties, your worries, your fears to God. And please don't hesitate to use that connection card or use the one online to reach out and say, hey, I'd like a financial coach. I'd like to have someone in our church family to come alongside and guide me just a little bit. So keep that in mind as we roll ahead. You know, I mentioned last week there are three groups of people in any church, but certainly in our church. There are those money experts, and that might be you. You might just have mastered all seven of these principles, and I mean that sincerely. I think there are people that have. You might be one of those. You know, you need to really pray and think about coaching other people. God has allowed you to kind of come to grips with these principles. Let me know about that. I'd like for you to help those that are reaching out for help. You know, that's a small percentage, very small. Hard to know how many, but it's a small percentage. And then there's what I would call the learners, those that are kind of dialed in on all seven, you know, haven't quite perfected them, but they're gaining ground and they're in sight and they're working on them. And that's, you know, that's a few more people. Hopefully we all would become learners. And then there's the strugglers. That's probably that biggest percent. That's probably that 80% that kind of matches the 80% that are stressed out. Folks that are just really struggling to get all seven, you know, maybe get even five or four or three. And, you know, I would encourage you, if you're in that camp, reach out for a financial coach. We'd love to come alongside. So if you'd like a coach, let us know. If you'd like to coach, please let me know that as well. I shared a couple of resources last week. I'm going to share another one. It's a book by Howard Dayton, Your Money Counts. I'm reading kind of the early edition over again. I've read it before, but it's got a lot of really practical Bible principles. I recommend you look at it. It comes from crown.org, a great website with lots and lots of resources. You know, what are the Joseph principles? Rob, what do you mean when you talk about the seven principles in the life of Joseph in the book of Genesis? Well, let me recap the ones we talked about last week and then get into the final three here today. In Genesis chapter 41, you remember the story where Pharaoh has a dream. He's dreaming, and then out of the river comes these, you know, plump cattle, you know, well-fed, you know, at their highest weight, you know, seem to be very, very healthy. And then the dream goes on. All of a sudden, there's these seven gaunt cattle that come out of the river and gobble up the fat ones. And Pharaoh is just distressed. He goes, what's going on? And he goes to his wise people and he says, hey, anybody of you interpret this dream? And nobody can do it. And finally a guy says, hey, I was in prison. There was this dude that interpreted our dreams and it turned out just like he said. Who is that guy? Joseph. Get him, Pharaoh says. I want to talk to him. And so Joseph is summoned. He brought into the court and Pharaoh talks to him and he says, can you interpret this dream? And he says, no, I can't, but God can. And that leads us to the first principle, dependence, relying on God. Even Joseph said, you know, I can't do this, but God can. Have you ever been in a financial pickle where you says, man, I don't know what to do. I can't do this. Have you reminded yourself that God can? Rely on God, dependence on God. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, put him first, and he will guide you. He will direct your paths. Money is a spiritual matter. Maybe you pray about it every time you write your bills or receive your weekly or biweekly or monthly check. Make it a matter of prayer. Consecrate those resources to the Lord. Lord, may I be faithful in stewarding and managing these resources well, just like Joseph. We've used this little rubric to evaluate how well we're doing. Emulate Joseph better so we can elevate our stewardship. So take a moment just to evaluate, how well am I doing at relying on God? Am I emulating Joseph and thus elevating my spiritual stewardship? Are you doing really, really well at that? Give yourself a five. If you're really struggling, give yourself a one. I think being honest is really important, being honest with ourselves about it. The second principle we looked at was accounting, know the facts. You know, Joseph knew what needed to be done. He knew it was about to come. And he told Pharaoh, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to prepare during the 7 years of plenty so that you're ready for the 7 years of famine. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, riches can disappear fast, so watch your business interests closely. Know the state of your flocks. If you're a sheep herder or a rancher, you want to know every sheep, every cow, the number of cattle, the number in your herd. You want to know all those details. Riches can disappear fast, so watch your business interests closely. And then Proverbs 23:23, get the facts at any price. Know the facts. A lot of people don't really know where they're at, where they're going, where they've come from, or how they're going to get to where they need to go. We shared this little equation last week. Ignorance plus easy credit equals trouble. How many have experienced that firsthand? You know, you fall in for the marketing plan that says 60 easy payments and you can have this, that, or the other thing. I've never met an easy payment in my entire life. They're all hard. And we need to be careful and we need to be aware and we need to be somewhat watchful. So evaluate. Lord, how am I doing in this whole area? Where do I need to emulate Joseph better in getting the facts and the details so I can elevate my life and my stewardship? Principle number three is saving, prepare for the future. It's interesting that Joseph saved 20%. Isn't that interesting? He said, we're going to live on 80 and we're going to save 20. He says, take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. So during the 7 years of plenty, he says, we're going to live on 80 and we're going to save 20. And the Bible says they accumulated so much grain, it was hard to measure. Here's what the Bible says in addition. The wise man saves for the future. Another verse says, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. I shared this last week. 69% of Americans have less than $1,000 in savings for emergency. And 34% are not saving at all. You say, things are really lean right now. I'm going through a real hard time. I understand. We serve a God who is Jehovah Jireh, which means what? Our provider. And so we take those needs and those anxieties and those fears and those frets. We've all been there. We've all felt financial pressure. But it's also important to see God's roadway to favor and blessing. And that's what we're looking at in the life of Joseph. Principle number four, and this is where we left off last week, is contentment. Be wise with debt. You know, I was thinking a lot about this week, that a lot of people say the problem is debt, and it is, but I think contentment is maybe the underlying issue. Because how much is enough? Just a little bit more. Contentment. Contentment is an issue. Joseph demonstrated the power of priority planning, which is a big key in dealing with debt. He made sure he took care of the big rocks first. He made sure he hit the number one goals first. He was priority driven. And so we're going to live on 80%. We're going to save 20% because we've got a famine like we have never seen in the history of the world coming up just around the corner. Today, 80% of Americans worry and are fearful about money. And I think one of the reasons is that extreme debt. The whole land was taken care of because of Joseph's priority planning. In fact, not only did all of Egypt come to Joseph, but the Bible says the entire known world came. The Israelites came to Joseph to be saved. Indulging in luxuries, wine, and rich food will never make you wealthy. Be content with what you have, the Bible says. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We didn't have time for this last week, but fill in this sentence. I will be happy when dot, dot, dot. That speaks to contentment. How do you fill that in? When I get that new car, when I get that new this, when I get that new that, when I accomplish this, I will be happy when. And what does that say about your relative position of contentment? Evaluate. Emulate Joseph to elevate stewardship. How am I doing in this area of contentment and debt? Now, number five, budgeting, spend intelligently. Turn to your neighbor and say, did Rob just say budgeting in church? Go ahead. Because to many people, that's a swear word. How many know that? It's a swear word, budgeting. You know, I didn't think you could cuss in church. Joseph put together a budget. We're going to live on 80%. We're going to save 20%. I'm not making a case that 20% is a biblical axiom. I'm just saying this is what Joseph did. And he gives us a great example. It says here in verse 39, chapter 41, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all of this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You're in charge. Joseph had told him, hey, you need to find someone really wise and discerning to be in charge. Pharaoh said, there's nobody like you. You're it. We're playing tag. You're it. You're in charge. In fact, he goes on to say, there's no one more important in the land other than me than you. You're number two in the entire country. And he gave him a robe, put a signet ring on his finger, gave him fine linens, put him in a chariot, and patrolled him all around Egypt and said, this is the guy. This is the guy that's going to save the world. That's why Joseph is seen as a type of Christ. Jesus came to literally save the world of their sins. Joseph was used to save, small s, the known world during this time of terrible famine. Notice these scriptures. Plan carefully and you'll have plenty. If you act too quickly, you'll never have enough. We're talking about spending intelligently. Don't you love how frank the Bible can be at times? Are you ready for this next one? Stupid people spend their money as fast as they get it. That's in the Good News. And I chose that translation specifically. Stupid people, you know, and we all go, yeah, been there, done that, but don't want to do that. The question here is, what is your spending plan? You know, what is your spending plan? The Bible is so specific and practical, and we're challenged with this point here today. You know, if you talk to financial advisors, and we have several in our church family, if you read financial books, if you go online, you'll see many different rubrics and ideas on how to go about it. You know, besides Joseph, there's others that talk about the 80-20 plan. You know, live on 80%, you know, save 20%. And I would say, well, maybe that's good after taxes and after your giving, your tithing. You know, that might be a good plan. Somebody has said, how about the 70-10-10-10 plan? Live on 70%, give 10%, save 10%, and then accelerate debt retirement with 10%. Did I have that right, or did I come up with an extra 10%? Wouldn't that be nice? The 50-30-20 plan, you've heard of this. 50% on needs, 30% on wants, and then 20 on savings. Well, all of these plans probably need a little biblical help because most of them don't have after tithing or giving. They don't even have after taxes, so that goes without saying. But 50% on need, maybe 30% on wants. Maybe that's too much, but that's what, you know, some people advise. Then there's the 60-10-10-10-10 plan. You know, this could get ridiculous, but here, let's go with a couple more. Living expenses, I like a few things about this one. Live on 60% might be tough. Tithe 10%, that's important. Save 10%, that's important. And then the other 10%, extra debt reduction. And when that's gone, save it. And then maybe the final 10% for those that want to give more than 10%, extra giving. And then one more, 75, 15, and 10. Some of you have read all this. You know all about it. 75% daily expenses, 15% investing, 10% savings. What is your plan? That's the point. What is your plan? You say, I don't have a plan. Well, the purpose of this message for you then is to get a plan. The Bible says have a plan. And there are several ways you can go about it, but what's your plan? And I think there are three really big questions to ask. The first one is, what is my giving goal? What would you like to give? I remember as a young man with, you know, three little kids, and finances were just really, really hard and tough, and you're just praying about it virtually every day. Yeah, I just remember at that time, I just really, really wanted to give more. I just wanted to figure out, how could I do it? And so I put together a giving plan. You know, it started with 10%. My parents taught me at a young age, you give a dime out of every dollar. And so that was never hard for me. That was easy. I did that from, you know, allowance days to lawn mowing days to paper route days, and, you know, that was no problem. But how, if I could go from 10 to 11, 11 to 12, 12 to 13%, to 15% and more, I said, God, help me find a way. What's your giving goal? I venture to say many people have never really thought of that. What's your savings goal? You know, who do you plan to pay first? The Bible says, give to God first. It's wise from the bulk of scripture reading to give yourself second, that's savings, and then try to find a way to live on the rest. I have found this budgeting principle to really be helpful. I call it the BYI principle, which means box yourself in. Anybody ever read that in a book? If so, let me know, because I've never seen it anywhere. But the idea is box yourself in. In other words, I'm going to start from the back and move forward. I'm going to give God 10% or whatever you determine to give. I'm going to save, and then I'm going to figure out that third box on how to make the rest of it work. Box yourself in. Be resolute. I'm going to honor God first. I'm going to save, and I'm going to sacrifice to make it all work together. You know, somebody once says you have a choice of two pains in life, the pain of regret or the pain of discipline. You choose. There's really only two. Stop and think about that for a moment. In every area of life, it requires discipline. If you want to graduate from high school with good grades, you got to work. If you want to go to college and graduate, you know, with good grades, it takes a lot of discipline. You know, you want to, you know, move up, you know, the org chart at the company, it takes a lot of discipline. You want to grow in your faith, there's something called spiritual disciplines. Pray, fast, read the Bible, memorize, serve. And if you want to be good and wise with your money, it takes what? Discipline. There are two choices, the choice of regret or the choice of discipline. Now, my goal in this series is not to make people feel worse about money, but to find hope. And in some ways, you know, it's possible to be kind of slid off the road and feel like we're in a ditch, financially speaking, but how can we chain up and get back on the road and then kind of climb the mountain? And that's what these seven principles from Joseph really help us do. So we box ourselves in, we create buckets and boundaries and guardrails. And I would encourage you, if you're really serious about doing more in 24, go to crown.org and consult some of those resources. You'll find it very, very helpful. You know, the pain of regret or the pain of discipline. When you box yourself in, it forces you to make hard decisions. Maybe I can't afford that new TV. Maybe I can't afford that new car right now. Maybe I can't afford that new boat right now. Nothing against boats. Maybe I can't afford this or that right now because it doesn't quite fit in with how I've put my budget together. Somebody online shared something that I thought was really, really interesting. They shared a five-step method for goal setting. And I looked at that and I thought, you know, we can apply that to our financial life. They weren't talking about finances. Maybe you've seen this. I can't give any credit because it was anonymous in where I read it. But they talked about being precise, and that reminds me of principle number two, know the facts. You know, be precise, put together a specific plan. They said, secondly, think big. And I thought, well, how does that really fit? And then I thought to myself, maybe for some, 2024 is the breakout year where we decide to get serious about God's plan with money management. Maybe I'm getting really serious about putting God first. Maybe I'm getting real serious about putting myself second. Maybe I can get really serious about contentment and debt and a budget and spending wisely. And then set a deadline. You know, good ideas turn into nothing more than just good ideas, just because nobody gets started in working on the good idea. So set a deadline. You know, as of next month or the very next month, I'm going to implement this plan. Set a deadline. And then I love this. This is probably the point that really jumped out to me, and it kind of fits in this particular point we're talking about here. It says, decide what you're going to sacrifice. Again, this was somebody talking about goal setting, unrelated to money. But again, they said, what are you going to sacrifice? And I shared this kind of quickly last week, but it's something I've done through the years, maybe not always writing it down, but thinking about it. And that is, create a sacrifice celebration and discipline list. Take joy in the fact, saying, I'm going to do without this, this, and this, because I can't really afford it, because I want to really prioritize my planning like Joseph. I want to prioritize my spending like Joseph. I got a few questions after the sermon last Sunday. Somebody said, hey, Rob, is it okay to have a hobby? And I said, of course it's great to have a hobby. God never says don't spend any money on yourself. It just says do it in the right order. So you want to honor God first. You want to save, pay yourself second. And then thirdly, everything else has to fit in. So if you'd rather do your hobby than eat, that's up to you. If you'd rather do your hobby than have a house to live in, you know, that's your choice. But here's what a lot of times people say is, you know, I can't really afford to give to God because I got this new boat payment. I can't afford to give to God because I've got this or I've got that. And I'm sitting there going, you've got to be kidding me. Do we even read the Bible? Do we even care what it says? Do we understand the principle of big rocks and stewardship and discipleship and lordship and ownership? Another person came up to me and said, you know, all that you're saying, Rob, and the Bible says is just so practical and true. I remember the day where I was trying to help somebody who was really, really having a hard time with their finances, and I was trying to help them cut their expenses because they had a bunch of unessential things in their budget, and they were unwilling to do it. He said, that was the moment I just walked away and said, you know, I can't help you. It's the pain of regret or the pain of discipline. Somebody else came up to me and said, Rob, make sure when you talk about giving, and we'll do a little of it today and do more of it next week. When you talk about giving, remind people the joy is in the giving. That's where the joy is. God blesses faithful givers. Cars run longer. Tires seem to last longer. Appliances don't wear out quite as quick. This is their quote, and I couldn't agree more. There's just faithfulness produces a blessing in ways that we probably don't totally understand. To finish up the five, the author of this plan said, you know, write down your goals and your action plan. And I thought to myself, you know, that's good too. Make sure you have a budget. And then also put together a dream list. You know, when I can afford it, I'd like to do this. I'd like to do that. I'd like to save. I'd like to give. I'd like this major purchase, that dream. And then I added a sixth one. Can you guess what it is? Pray about it all regularly. Pray about it all regularly. Commit it to God. God, I want to be faithful steward. Have you prayed that prayer lately? Say it in your heart right now. Lord, I want to be a faithful steward. I want to be the kind of person that you would hire, not fire. I want to be a follower, a disciple. I want to honor the lordship of Jesus Christ. Principle number six, and this is, we'll only be able to get started on this, and then we'll finish it all up next week. But be industrious. Be industrious. You say, well, what's that have to do with finances? You know, in many ways, you are your greatest asset. And that's why you need to prepare yourself and prime yourself. Notice this. Joseph was industrious. At age 30, he was in charge of Egypt. I was talking to a guy this week, and I said, how old are you? He said, 22. I said, in 8 years, you're going to be running Egypt. 30 years old, he's running Egypt. The guy looked at me, what are you talking about? 30 years old. This was not for the weak of heart. He steps in, and he is working his tail off. Joseph, verse 46 says, was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, he saved and prepared, and on it goes, telling the story. I would say this to all of you that are in your 20s and 30s, work your tail off. Work your tail off. The Bible says to, you know, take advantage of the time. Make the most of this opportunity because the days are evil. Time is a non-renewable resource. You know, go to school. Get your education. Get into your career if that's your choice. Work your tail off. You know, work your tail, be industrious. Christians should be the greatest workers out there in the marketplace. Would you agree with that? We should be the most joyful. We should be the most supportive, the most encouraging, the hardest working, the most diligent, the most respectful. I was talking to a gentleman just last night who was talking about his workplace that was filled with Christians, and it's just not the case. Bad testimony after bad testimony. I thought, how unfortunate. How unfortunate. We're not going to always get it right, but we have to mostly get it right. How can we work our tail off? You know, you look at some of the most famous entrepreneurs, and I know this is a little bit of an outlier, but many of them built their great companies when they're in their 20s and 30s. And so I keep looking over here because we got a lot of awesome people right here. And I mean that sincerely. And as your pastor and friend, I just want to encourage you, keep up the good work. Keep doing what you're doing. Devote yourself. Prepare yourself. You are your greatest asset. You know, the Bible says, Lord, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor. And then what's the next part? Love yourself. The Bible never says hate yourself. And there are times where loving yourself means make sure you invest in yourself in such a way that you can be your best self. God has given you strengths and abilities and talents and skills. He wants you to refine them and hone them and use them for his glory. Can I hear a big amen? Amen. Joseph was industrious. Imagine if he didn't step up. Imagine if he didn't enter the game. And that's not only true for people in their 20s and 30s. It's also true for those of us in our 40s, 50s, and 60s. Notice how I put the 40s and 60s together there? That was on purpose. You know, we just all need to grow. We're going to come back to this next week and finish this up a little bit. But I want to just kind of tease it out there. The Bible says in Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, whether word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Proverbs 10:4 says, lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands brings wealth. Proverbs 10:5, make hay while the sun shines. That's smart. Go fishing during the harvest. There's that word again. That's stupid. Proverbs 13:4, lazy people want much but get little, but those who work hard will prosper and be satisfied. One final verse, and then we're going to wrap it up. I love this in Ecclesiastes 9:10. The first part, very, very normal, and then it gets really kind of interesting. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. That's the normal part. Because you're going to die pretty soon, is the way the rest of the group goes. For in the grave where you're going, there is no working or planning or knowledge or wisdom. So the way I look at that verse, I say to myself, the time for work is now. And your work, listen to this, is your worship. Your work matters to God. Your education matters to God. Your preparation for whatever God has for you matters to God. It's part of your worship. No matter where you work, worship while you work. It matters to God. He cares about your work. The Bible talks a lot about your work and how you toil and make a living and work with other people and impact other people. I want you to bow your heads with me. Lord, as we put a comma right here for right now, we just simply pray, Lord, help us be faithful stewards. That's really what this message is all about. Just like we talked about last week as we started this series, this is not a series on fundraising. It's a series on discipleship raising. How can we better understand the specificity of stewardship and management? You're the owner, we're the manager. You're the owner, we're the manager. It's not the other way around. And yet, Lord, so often we operate in an opposite fashion. We think we're the owner, and somehow he's the manager or whatever title we might give you, Lord. But you're the owner, and we're the manager. May we be found faithful. If you're here, friend, and you have not ever committed your life to Christ, or maybe you have and you've kind of fallen away, but you know, you're here listening about discipleship and stewardship and watching 16 people get baptized and others worshiping the Lord in our beautiful worship service, and you're saying, you know, I need to get serious about God. I just want to encourage you to pray a simple prayer. Lord, come into my life. Forgive me my sins. I want to be a Christian. Or, God, come in. I want to rededicate my life to you. And if you pray that prayer in your heart of hearts, right there where you're sitting right now, please tell me about it. Take that connection card in front of you or the one online. Fill that out. Drop it in the black box as you leave. I want to be praying for you, reach out to you this week. We've got an incredible class, our basic Christian beliefs class this Wednesday night that would just be transformational for you. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Rob, the truth of the matter is I am in a very, very difficult financial situation. Friend, I have good news. Jesus cares. The Bible says to cast all our cares on him. Why? Because he cares for us. It's interesting that anxiety and stress and fear are a part of this life, a big part of this life. But we can grow through those times if we keep our eyes on Jesus, remain faithful to him, and demonstrate gratitude for his blessing in our life. Lord, I pray a miracle of financial provision over each and every one here today. Those that are struggling in the financial realm, God, I pray they'll step out, find some help and coaching and encouragement. Those that need a financial provision, God, I pray you'll meet that need. Those that are unemployed that need work, I pray that you'll help them. I pray you'll bless everybody on their job, God, that give them a vigor and a rigor to be the best employees anywhere in that workplace. God, may we be faithful stewards. That's our prayer. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.